Okay, here's a thought to start us off. What if the very act of being transparent, something we always champion as the bedrock of trust, what if it could actually erode public confidence in science?
Yeah, it sounds completely counterintuitive, doesn't it? Almost wrong somehow now.
Exactly. But what if there's data suggesting exactly that? And maybe it points to something really fundamental, maybe even uncomfortable, about how science should communicate.
It's definitely a proposition that makes you stop and think. It pushes back hard against our standard assumptions about openness automatically leading to trust.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the podcast where we take complex ideas from interesting sources and really try to distill them into insights you can actually use.
And today we're diving into some, frankly, pretty unsettling observations from a recent paper. It really challenges some deeply held beliefs about transparency and, public trust in scientific institutions.
Yeah, the paper is titled Lying Increases Trust in Science, authored by BVE Hyde, and it's published in the journal Theory and Society.
And it's significant, I think, because it directly tackles that common idea that transparency is like the universal fix for any lack of trust.
So our mission today, let's unpack this transparency paradox that Hyde outlines. We need to look at the evidence, because it's pretty compelling, and critically examine the proposed solutions, including one that's deeply problematic.
Right. And then figure out what the author actually suggests is the real path forward, the ethical and sustainable way to maintain public trust in science.
It's going to get into some quite nuanced philosophical and empirical stuff. So, yeah, strap in.
Definitely. And the core argument isn't just theory, right? It's based on observable outcomes that really make you pause.
Okay, so let's dive right in. The standard thinking, the baseline assumption, is pretty clear. Transparency is good for trust, always.
Yeah.
More openness equals more trust. That feels right, doesn't it?
It does feel intuitive, but that's exactly where the author, Hyde, challenges us. The argument is that we often confuse what should make something trustworthy, its actual trustworthiness, what actually makes the public trust it.
Ah, okay. So trustworthiness and public trust aren't necessarily the same thing in practice.
Exactly. That's the crucial distinction. And the main claim is that transparency can swing both ways. It can increase or decrease public trust. It really depends on the context, and what's being disclosed.
And the paper backs this up with evidence. It's not just armchair philosophy. We know transparency can build trust, right?
Yeah.
Like in general studies on organizations or government analyses. Research usually shows openness doesn't hurt confidence.
No, absolutely. And the paper acknowledges that. Studies by Norman and Auger, Wang and Guan, they show transparency often works as expected. So it's not saying transparency is always bad.
Okay, that's important. So it's more nuanced.
Much more nuanced, because this is where it gets really interesting. Hyde brings in this counter-narrative, showing cases where more transparency actively reduces trust.
Like what?
Well, the big example is physicians disclosing financial conflicts of interest, especially after the Sunshine Act in the U.S. mandated it. Studies actually found public trust went down, even though the disclosure is meant to make medicine more trustworthy.
Wow, okay. So being more upfront about potential biases actually made people trust doctors less. That's
Oh,
wild.
it is pretty wild. Cantor, Tringill, and Hedegaard-Igluth, they both highlighted this really perplexing result, and it seems to boil down to that idealized view we mentioned.
The disclosure shatters the illusion of the perfectly objective doctor.
Something like that. It reveals something that just doesn't fit the public's maybe overly simplistic expectation of how science or medicine works. And it's not just medicine.
Right, you mentioned other areas.
Yeah, we see similar things in government, even with AI systems. When they try to be transparent about their internal reasoning, how they make decisions, sometimes trust goes down.
Why? Because the reasoning is complex or maybe reveals trade-offs.
Exactly. Research by like Grimmelkais and Schmidt, they found this too. Transparency exposes the complexities, the uncertainties, maybe even what people perceive as flaws. And that clashes with this neat, idealized picture.
Okay, so this push and pull, transparency helping sometimes, hurting other times, it's genuinely puzzling. What does the paper say is the root cause? Why does this happen?
Right, that's the critical question. The author argues the key is the public's, what they call a naive view of science, or maybe over-idealizing science is a better term. Philip Kitcher called it the legend of
The
science.
legend, meaning like a fairy tale version.
Sort of, yeah. This idea that scientists are always perfectly objective, infallible, never disagree, always follow a straight line to the truth. The storybook image that Mead and Mitro talked about way back.
But we know, anyone involved in science knows, it's not like that at all. It's human, it's messy, full of debates, dead ends, uncertainty, sometimes even, you know, less than perfect behavior.
Precisely. David Hull's work showed that vividly. Sometimes the most productive scientists weren't the most, well, admirable in their conduct. But the public often only sees the final polished paper, not the messy process behind it.
And ClimateGate is a perfect, if painful, example of this, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A textbook case. Leaked emails showed scientists doing normal science stuff, debating, expressing frustration, talking technical details.
Yeah, I remember the hide the decline phrase got completely twisted.
Exactly. It was about data representation, a technical issue, but it sounded like they were hiding something sinister. And even though investigations found no actual wrongdoing, the transparency itself, revealing that normal messiness, shattered the public's idealized image. Trust plummeted.
It really makes you think. If you pull back the curtain on any really complex human thing, building a bridge, running a company, writing software, you'd find messiness, right? Would that always shatter trust if people expect perfection?
That's a great question. And Stephen John had that great analogy. He said something like, publicizing how sausages are made doesn't necessarily boost sausage sales. Same idea for knowledge production. Showing the messy process doesn't automatically make people trust the outcome more if they expect a clean, perfect factory.
And some argue this pressure for transparency can even distort things, make experts, like, simplify too much.
Yeah, that's another layer. Thinkers like Nguyen or O'Neill suggest that if experts constantly have to justify complex, maybe even intuitive, reasoning to a lay audience, they might start acting in ways that are easier to explain rather than what's actually best based on their deep expertise.
Like a performance of transparency, almost, that might actually hide the real complexity.
Exactly. It can become superficial and, ironically, hinder genuine understanding and trust in the long run.
Okay, so given this really tricky situation where transparency can backfire because of this idealized view, the author explores a potential. Well, they call it a pseudo-solution, and it sounds logical in a disturbing way.
It does. The logic goes something like this. If transparency about bad news reliably decreases trust,
then just make sure there's no bad news to report.
Basically, yeah. The paper distinguishes good news stuff that meets or beats expectations, boosting trust from bad news, which is anything falling short of that ideal.
So a doctor revealing no conflicts is good news. A doctor revealing lots of them, even honestly, is bad news.
Right. Or maybe the public expects a vaccine to have zero side effects. Reporting any side effects, even minor ones, becomes bad news relative to that unrealistic expectation.
And this leads to the really alarming part the paper discusses. If you have to report only good news to keep trust up, what's the extreme way to guarantee that?
Well, the paper suggests, as a kind of thought experiment, a reductio ad absurdum, that institutions might feel pressured to just lie, fabricate positive results, suppress inconvenient data or dissent, pretend there's certainty where there's actually loads of uncertainty.
The noble lie approach, but applied in a way that sounds incredibly dangerous.
Extremely dangerous. And the author is absolutely not endorsing this. It's presented purely to show the absurd and terrifying endpoint of prioritizing perceived trust over actual trustworthiness if you accept the premise that transparency about flaws kills trust.
So it's a warning.
A huge warning. Because while lying might pump up trust numbers temporarily, getting caught, which is almost inevitable eventually, would be catastrophic. Complete collapse of trust, not just in science, but everywhere. And it fuels conspiracy theories, right? If people suspect they're being lied to, extreme skepticism becomes rational.
Yeah, the paper warns this path leads down a farcical rabbit hole towards something like a totalitarian state with constant information control and propaganda. A really grim picture.
It's painted as the worst possible outcome, a clear signal that this pseudo-solution is absolutely not the way to go. It highlights how serious the underlying problem, the public's over-idealization, really is.
Okay, so if deception is obviously disastrous, what is the real answer? How do we move forward ethically and sustainably?
The paper argues the only genuine solution is to tackle the root cause, that public over-idealization of science. We need to close the gap between how trustworthy science actually is and how much the public trusts it.
So instead of trying to make science look perfect, we need to help the public understand what real science looks like, flaws and all, and why it's still trustworthy.
Exactly. Right now, things meant to increase trustworthiness, like transparency about conflicts or uncertainty, can actually decrease trust because of that naive view. The goal should be to get public trust to align with actual trustworthiness And that requires a more mature public understanding.
Which means a massive ongoing effort in science education and communication.
A huge effort. We need to communicate what scientific objectivity and rigor really mean in practice. That science is this complex, tangled process, as Cartwright and others described it, but it's still reliable precisely because of its methods, its self-correction, despite the messiness.
Demystifying the process, not just sharing the results.
Yes, and specifically, educating people on key points. Science doesn't really prove things definitively. There's always uncertainty. Conflicts of interest need managing, but aren't automatic fraud. One weird study doesn't overturn decades of research.
And critically, scientists are human. They make mistakes. That's normal.
It's completely normal. Scientists know this, but somehow that understanding hasn't really permeated public consciousness effectively. And that failure leaves science vulnerable when things like ClimateGate happen.
So ultimately, the responsibility falls on scientists and communicators themselves to actively, as Kristen Intiman put it, remind audiences how science works.
That seems to be the core message. Stop complaining about public ignorance after the fact and instead proactively invest in fostering that realistic understanding. Be transparent about the process, the uncertainties, the debates, not just the neat conclusions.
It's a call for a fundamental shift in communication strategy.
A big shift. Less about presenting a perfect facade, more about showing the robust, self-correcting human enterprise that science actually is, and explaining why that is worthy of trust.
Wow, that was a really fascinating exploration. It definitely makes you rethink some basic assumptions about transparency and trust in science.
Absolutely. It's a really valuable framework, I think, for understanding why things that should build trust can sometimes go wrong. And it points towards a harder, but ultimately more honest and stable way forward.
Okay, so to wrap up and distill this complex discussion, here are three major takeaways we can pull from Hyde's analysis in this paper.
First, we really need to distinguish between actual trustworthiness and public trust. They aren't the same. Making science more trustworthy, like through transparency, won't automatically increase public trust if the public holds a fundamentally flawed, overly idealized view of science.
Second, the context of transparency is everything. Whether disclosure increases or decreases trust seems to hinge on whether the information fits the public's ideal, good news, or shatters it, bad news, like revealing conflicts of interest or the inherent messiness of research.
And third, the only truly sustainable and ethical solution isn't hiding the bad news or deception. It's a long-term commitment to better science education and communication, one that actively works to dispel that naive view and builds a realistic public understanding of science, including its fallibility and complexity, showing why it's reliable despite that.
Right, building trust based on how science actually works, not on a fairy tale version of it.
Exactly. It's about fostering a more mature relationship between science and society.
Definitely gives us a lot to chew on. Maybe think about how this changes your perspective. When you encounter scientific information, what do you expect? And what does trust in science really mean in light of all this? Lots to consider. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.